I am Judith Stark, an accessible technology consultant for the Pacific ADA Center. The Accessible Technology Webinar Series is sponsored by the Great Lakes ADA Center and the Pacific ADA Center, both of whom are members of the ADA National Network. Before we begin, just a few housekeeping items. If you do have any questions for our speaker, please feel free to enter them into the chat area on the left side under where it says room. And we will be monitoring them, and Paul will address some during the course of the presentation, and if not, then hopefully at the end of the session, if we have time, he will continue with answering some of those questions. Today's session is being recorded and archived on the www.ada-audio.org website. You will receive an email with the link to the archive as soon as it is available, usually within about a week to 10 days. The session is being has real-time captioning available. The CC symbol is at the top of your viewing area next to where it says audio and video. So if you click on that little icon, it will open the dialog box, and you can move that box anywhere you like and resize it to anywhere onto the screen. After the session, the handout will be emailed to you along with an evaluation survey. So please do take a couple of minutes to fill out the survey. It really is helpful for us to know if we are on the right track. Okay, so today's session is on eye accessibility and all things related to the iOS operating system and mobile technology with the Apple devices. We're very pleased to welcome Paul Adam of DECK Systems to help us understand just how those accessibility features really work in real life, and I for one am really looking forward to that. Paul is an accessibility evangelist at DECK Systems by day and spends his spare time creating websites or learning iOS development. He's worked as an accessibility specialist at the Texas Department of Assistive and Rehabilitative Services, which is a web designer, as a web designer for UT Permian Basin and A&M Central Texas, and has trained students, faculty, and staff in a wide variety of IT and accessibility subjects. Paul is also an Apple nerd who got hooked after using the first accessible iPhone. So, Paul, forgive me if I mispronounced some of those places that you worked at. It sounds very impressive, and we look forward to hearing all about it. So, please feel free to go ahead with your presentation.
Okay, thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Paul J. Adam. I work as an accessibility evangelist at DECK Systems, and I'm here to talk about iOS accessibility, and I will get started. So you can find me on Twitter at Paul J. Adam, and I'm at pauljadam.com, and you can email me at paul@pauljadam.com if you have any questions. So, Apple divides their accessibility settings on iOS into different categories. And vision is the first category. And to get to your accessibility settings on an iPhone or an iPad, you would go to Settings and then General, and then scroll all the way down to the bottom, and you'll see Accessibility at the bottom of Settings General. And in Vision, you have VoiceOver, the screen reader, you have Zoom, you have large text, invert colors, and a few other settings that I'll go into more details on. And it's also divided into Hearing, where you can have made for iPhone hearing aids. You can also set up LED flash for alerts, so that if you have a device with a flash on it, like the phone or the new iPod Touch, you could get a flash whenever you get a new text message or a phone call, so you don't have to actually listen to the phone ring, or if you're in the dark, you would see that it's flashing. And you can also adjust the speakers to where the sound comes out. You can disable stereo sound and you know, adjust it to whatever ear you can hear better out of. The other category is learning, physical, and motor. And these are a little bit newer. You have learning guided access, which was added in iOS 6. And this is for students with autism, and I'll go into more details on this. Physical and motor, assistive touch, so that you can operate the device without actually having to do all the gestures with your fingers, or you can even shake the device without having to physically shake it. And I'll go into all of these settings in more details. So VoiceOver, which is, you know, the most popular accessibility feature of the iPhone, and it is a screen reader that comes with iOS. It's included free of charge. You pay for it when you buy the device. And basically, you see the screenshots here of the VoiceOver accessibility settings. And it says that VoiceOver speaks items on the screen. You tap once to select an item. You double tap to activate the selected item. And then you swipe with three fingers to scroll. And I'll turn on VoiceOver on my iPad real fast just so that y'all can hear it.
Left. Home button to the left. Settings. VoiceOver. On. The VoiceOver speaks items on the screen. Tap once to select an item. Double tap to activate the selected item. Swipe three fingers to scroll. Alert. Selected. VoiceOver off.
Okay, so hopefully you can hear that. It's being output from my iPad and running through my headset microphone, so it may not sound perfect, but that's how VoiceOver sounds. I've slowed the speed down a little bit to make it easier to understand it, but most people speed it up really fast, and if you're not used to listening to a screen reader, usually it would be hard to understand what somebody's listening to with it. So in VoiceOver, you can control the speaking rate, like I just mentioned, and they have a turtle icon and a rabbit icon to indicate how fast VoiceOver is speaking. You can also use a braille display, a Bluetooth wireless braille display, so that you don't actually have to listen to VoiceOver. You can just get everything with Braille. And you can use different languages as well. And I'll go into more details on these. And then Zoom. So if you go to accessibility in Zoom, you can enable System Zoom, which magnifies the entire screen. And you operate it with a different set of finger gestures. You double tap with three fingers to zoom on the whole screen, and you have to drag your three fingers around the screen to move the viewport. And then you double tap with three fingers and then drag. You drag in or out to change the magnification level. Zoom is a really cool feature that pretty much everyone can use, an accessibility feature that is really helpful. If you're on a website, there's a really small picture, and you want to see it better, then you can activate Zoom and zoom in on it. So new in iOS 6, Zoom actually works together with VoiceOver. Before, you couldn't operate VoiceOver and Zoom together, kind of like some people who use Zoom Text and they use JAWS at the same time. So that's now possible in iOS 6, and it's really cool. So in this screenshot, what you see on the left, there's a little box around the clock icon, and that is the VoiceOver cursor, which tells you where VoiceOver is currently focused. And then the screenshot on the right shows Zoom turned on as well, and I've zoomed in at a really deep level, and you can still see the VoiceOver cursor in action there. Large text is another low vision accessibility feature, and also an accessibility feature that pretty much anyone can use. You know, these phones are really tiny. It's hard to read the text at the default size. So Apple built this into where you can change the text size only in certain applications. So you can view larger text in mail, contacts, calendars, messages, and notes. And the screenshot on the right shows the Messages app with the text set to 56 points, the largest setting. And in this screenshot on the left, you see on the iPad the email application with the text set to 56 points. So it's very large. Invert colors is an accessibility feature where you can turn on high contrast mode, basically. And it can actually also be useful for nighttime reading, because when you're in the pitch black dark, your screen is very bright. If you switch to invert colors, it's not quite as bright, easier to read, doesn't hurt your eyes as much. So I have screenshots that show this before and after when you turn it on. Speak selection. This is a feature that came out in iOS 5, I think. And what it does is allows you to select a paragraph of text, and then you can have that text spoken out loud using VoiceOver. And you can control the speaking rate, and you can pick which dialect you'd like it to speak it in, like Australian English or British English or Irish English. And it can, I think new in iOS 6, it can now highlight the words. So, you know, this can be good for someone who has a reading or learning disability. And they can listen to the text and actually see what word is being spoken all at the same time. So this is great for proofreading or just, you know, relaxing and listening to an article rather than having to read it with your eyes. So the screenshots visible here on the screen show speak selection in action. Here in the first screenshot, I've selected a paragraph, and then you have the little popover menu that says copy or speak. And if you press the speak button, it'll start speaking it out loud, and then the screenshot below, you'll see that the word options is highlighted. That is the word that is currently being spoken. And speak auto text is another accessibility feature. Auto text, you have the autocorrect where you're typing a text message to somebody and it automatically corrects the misspelled word that you did. And sometimes it incorrectly gives you a different word that you did not mean to type. What speak auto text does is we'll speak that word out loud so you'll hear the corrections before you actually send it. So that could help. You help prevent you from sending something you didn't mean to type. This works when you have VoiceOver turned off as well, so you don't have to have VoiceOver turned on to hear the auto corrections being spoken. Okay. I wanted to address a question that I got in the chat. It says, the question is, what's the difference between pinching and three-finger zoom? That's a good question. Pinch to zoom is the normal zoom that most people think about. when you're in Safari, mobile Safari, and you're on a website, and you want to increase the text size, you put two fingers on the screen, and then you spread those two fingers apart to zoom in, pinch to zoom. And system zoom is different, where system zoom works for every single application operating system wide, whereas pinch to zoom only works in Safari. It doesn't work in all applications. So system zoom, you do three finger double tap on the screen and it zooms in the whole screen. Okay, hearing. Now for the hearing accessibility settings, you have the made for iPhone hearing aids and features that came out with iOS 5, I think, is sound and vibration patterns, where you can assign a vibration pattern to a certain alert or a contact who calls you. So when somebody calls you, you can normally assign a ringtone so you know that that particular person is calling, but now you can also assign a particular vibration pattern. And you, in iOS 6, they allowed you to create vibration patterns for pretty much every single type of alert that you could get, like a new text, a new email, a tweet, a Facebook post, and a reminder alert. And you can pick from some of Apple's vibration patterns, like a heartbeat, an SOS, a symphony, and you can create your own custom vibration patterns. And these screenshots are showing, the first two show me creating a custom vibration pattern for a reminder alert. So I use the Reminders app, and when I get a reminder that a bill is due or a project needs to be completed, it will give me that custom vibration pattern that I created. This one is actually a cool demo to do live. I have a microphone and I can hook my phone, I can put my phone next to it and you can actually hear the vibration patterns. So let me switch to my external microphone and give that a try real fast. Okay, so I'm on the external microphone now and I'm changing the reminders alert vibration pattern. And that you can hear the different ones. That's the heartbeat pattern, the rapid pattern, SOS, there's a symphony pattern. Then you can create your own custom vibration patterns as well. Okay, so hopefully y'all were able to hear that. I was putting my phone on a microphone to get the vibration sound to go through. Another hearing accessibility setting is for videos. And this is not under settings accessibility. This is to turn on closed captioning. You would go to settings and then go to videos and enable closed captioning. And for videos that do have the closed captioning embedded within the video, you will be able to see those on the screen. Guided access is a brand new accessibility feature in iOS 6. And it was basically created for students with autism as a way to prevent someone from accidentally clicking the home button and exiting out of an app. Like, let's say you're in a learning app and you want to keep someone focused on this particular app and you don't want them to be able to press certain buttons or accidentally hit the home screen and then exit out of that app. and guided access will prevent that from happening. So you can set a passcode so they can't access or exit the app unless you enter the passcode. And these screenshots show some of the settings. I have turned triple click home button on to display all the accessibility settings when I click my home button 3 times, and then I would activate guided access. And I'm showing here in the screenshot guided access being applied to the Tweetbot app, where I've selected the top row buttons and the bottom row buttons and disabled them from being activated. And these are more screenshots of the guided access settings. And this screenshot on the right shows guided access has been enabled, and it put a diagonal pattern through the buttons that have been deactivated. These buttons cannot be activated when guided access is turned on. And these are screenshots of the physical and motor accessibility settings. So under general accessibility, physical and motor, you can turn on assistive touch. And assistive touch allows you to activate features of the device without actually pressing the buttons. Like, let's say you want to use Siri, but you don't have the physical capability to hold the home button down for a few seconds to activate Siri. With assistive touch, you don't need to do that. You could use a stylus. You could use like a head wand or a mouth stick with a stylus attached to the end of it, and then someone could activate all these functions without actually using their fingers. And assistive touch is also made to work with Bluetooth accessories like a joystick, where you can control all these features using this external accessory rather than actually touching the device. These are more screenshots of assistive touch showing the different features that it can activate. So rotating the screen, what if you can't actually do that with your hands? You can use assistive touch and it will rotate the screen, turn the volume up or down, mute and unmute, even take a screenshot, which requires the press of 2 buttons at the same time, and also the multitasking tray, which requires a double click on the home button. Using assistive touch, you can have access to all of these. And you can also create custom gestures. So these screenshots, so assistive touch, where I created a custom gesture. And the gesture is shown on the right, does show my finger marks. And basically what I was doing is the rotor gesture, which is where you put 2 fingers on the screen and you spin it like a rotary telephone. So this could be a complex gesture to accomplish if you have trouble using your fingers. With assistive touch, though, you can easily get to it. So these screenshots show other physical and motor accessibility settings. The home click speed, let's say that you can't really click the home button 3 times really fast. So you want to slow down how slow or how fast you have to click the home button. And you can control that here with slow and slowest setting. And then for incoming calls, you can say, when I get an incoming call, I want it to go directly to the headset, or I want it to go directly to the speakers. And TripleClick Home is a very good setting if you want to learn about accessibility on your iPhone, or you want to do accessibility testing or demonstrations for people. And I always have TripleClick Home enabled. Apple recommends that all developers set this option for quick access to accessibility testing features. And what that does is allows you to pick, when you click your home button three times, it allows you to pick which accessibility options appear. And you can have only one option that would turn on or off. Like if you're a VoiceOver user and you want to turn VoiceOver on really fast, you can just say, when I click my home button three times, VoiceOver comes on. When I click it three times, it turns off. For me, I have all the accessibility features pop up, and then I choose which feature I want to enable when I triple click my home button. Maps is a really interesting new accessibility enabled app that Apple developed for iOS 6. And I know Maps did have a lot of publicity problems when it came out. It still just doesn't have as good of data as the Google Maps application. Apple replaced Google Maps with their own version. But one thing that's really exciting and interesting is that they made Maps accessible. It was not accessible before like it is now. And they switched from using pixel rendering to using vector-based rendering of the map. So when you zoom in on the map, it actually zooms in real smooth and you don't see pixels on the screen. But what this also enabled Apple to do is make all the text and points of interest and streets accessible with VoiceOver. So now in iOS 6 maps, you can slide your finger along the screen of a map and it will read the street name. It'll tell you if it's a north-south street, if it's an east-west street. It'll tell you the points of interest. And you can also change the label size of the text on the map. So on my screenshot on the left, the label size is set as small. And the text is maybe a little bit harder to read, especially if you're driving around. You'd like to have bigger text to read. So the screenshot on the right, I've set the label size to be large. And this is not under accessibility settings. You have to go to settings and then maps, and then you can change the label size there. Some other really cool things with maps, and if you look at my online slides, they're at paulj.com/IA11Y, which stands for accessibility. If you find the link I have to a video, I have a few videos I've created on YouTube showing the maps in action with VoiceOver. And basically what a user can do now is use VoiceOver to virtually explore their neighborhood. So they can turn on the location tracking feature with VoiceOver enabled in the map and actually start walking around the neighborhood. And as you approach an intersection, VoiceOver will tell you, approaching intersection, it'll tell you what street you're intersecting with. And then you can actually hear where you're going if you're actually walking around, or if you just want to explore the neighborhood from home, you can just move your fingers along the screen. If you actually hold your finger on a street for a few seconds, it'll say, started tracking street. And then as you slowly move your finger along the street, you'll hear the pitter-patter of feet as if you're actually walking along the street. You'll hear these feet as you move. And then as you approach the other streets, it'll tell you you're approaching an intersection, and you can switch between the different streets. And you also have access to points of interest as well. Let me see if I can do a quick demo over some of the voiceover features and maps real fast on my iPad. Okay, I'm turning voiceover on.
Voiceover on. Landscape. Port Washington on E11th Street. East-West Road.
So, I just tapped the street. East 11th Street, it said East-West Road, and then if I hold my finger on the street, it'll start tracking it.
E11th Street, East-West Road, pause to follow. Started tracking E11th Street, East-West Road. At intersection with Trinity Street, one-way, North-South Road. Pause to follow Trinity Street, one-way, North-South Road. Started tracking Trinity Street. One way, at intersection with E10th Street. One way, East-West Road. Pause to follow E10th.
Okay, so I just showed voiceover switching to a different street, and it tells you when you're at the intersection and tells you to pause to follow that street, and then you can switch and explore that area. Now, you can also use the rotor, the voiceover rotor within the map to cycle through points of interest visible on the screen.
Heading 6. Contain film. Vertical map of language. Points of interest.
So switch to points of interest.
Bring in exploration oil and gas. ALC6. Rickhouse Park Barbecue. Gaddy's Pizza. Smoothie King. Walk with Fish Taco. Restaurant. Use the rotor to access points of interest.
So, use the rotor to get through points of interest. And these points of interest all have icons. And this last one was a restaurant. And the icon for the restaurant is a fork and a knife. So, the points of interest, the icons will be spoken as, you know, what type of points of interest this is. So I think that is all that I'll show with the maps and voiceover.
Alert. Selected. Voiceover off.
Okay, I hope y'all were able to hear that well. Alright, so Siri and voice control. And these are also great accessibility features that, you know, are mainstream, that Apple publicizes a lot. Siri was pretty much the big selling feature of the iPhone 4S. And voice control was out before Siri came out. Voice control, you can use this, let's say you have an older iPhone or an iPod Touch that does not have Siri, you can still use voice control. And voice control does not require an internet connection, which is also nice. It's also faster with certain things. Like, you can use old school voice control to call somebody. You can say call and then speak that person's phone number or their contact in your contacts. You can say play for a particular song. You can say dial a particular number. And then Siri is, you know, very advanced, but it sends your audio to a web server and analyzes what you said to try to, you know, do the correct command. And I have some links throughout these slides where you can learn more about what I'm talking about, so be sure to visit those. So some of the voice commands that you can do with Siri, you can hold, like you hold down your home button, or if you have a headset on, you would hold down the middle button on your headset that you use to end the call. If you hold that down, Siri will pop up, and you can speak a command. And you can do things like, say, call Brian, or open photos, or tell Susan that I'll be right there to send a text message, or set up a meeting at 9 to set up a meeting in your calendar. And you can ask it things like football, baseball questions, things about what movies you're playing. You can also say, how do I get home, or say directions to home. And if you have your home address and your contacts, it will, you know, automatically pull up the map and give you directions to get home. And you can tweet and post to Facebook. There's tons of commands you can do with it. I have a link to a Siri FAQ from Apple. I have a link to a video that Apple put on their website for Siri promotional materials. And it actually shows a blind user using Siri. It shows a woman who's reading Braille, and she gets a text message, and she hears the text message spoken by Siri, and then she responds, or spoken by VoiceOver, and then responds with Siri. And there's tons of Siri commands. I put a few here. They've even programmed a sort of personality and humor into Siri, so you can ask it to tell you a joke. Do not knock jokes. You can ask it things like statistical information, like what is the population of Washington, D.C., and it would ask the Wolfram Alpha search engine that information and then give you the results. And that also works for things like what is the price of gasoline in a particular city. So there's tons of commands there, and you just have to play with them. But just on Siri again, for me, Siri is not as useful because it doesn't always get my commands correct. So it's frustrating when you tell it what to do and it doesn't do it. So I don't use it that often other than standard dictation. But for somebody who's blind, it's really a much faster way to input into the phone without having to use the keyboard for everything. So it's very slow using the keyboard if you have to listen to every letter you're typing and you don't have a physical key to type on. But using Siri, and depending on your voice, if you talk well and speak clearly, it will work correct, and it can be very effective and efficient for inputting commands into your phone. So another really interesting accessibility feature of iOS is that the camera is accessible. So I have this slide titled Blind Photography. And since VoiceOver works with the camera, someone who is blind can actually take photos. And the way it works is that when you have VoiceOver turned on and you open the camera, you'll see if there is faces visible on the viewfinder, it'll tell you how many faces are visible. So let's say one face or two face, and it'll tell you if it's a large face or a small face, and also the position of the face on the screen, like top right corner. So it'll give you all this information, and you could do group photos, and you can actually frame a photo well using audio feedback only. And this also works with the panorama feature of the camera. It'll tell the, when you're rotating to take your panorama, if the user is rotating too fast, it'll tell them to slow down. Or if they're angling the phone too high or too low, it'll say move up or move down. And the camera is a demo that I like to do with VoiceOver, so I will see if I can do that on my iPad.
VoiceOver on. Landscape. Tap switch camera. Double tap. Camera. Photo and video viewer button.
Okay, so I've turned on VoiceOver, now I'm in the camera.
Viewfinder image.
And I'm in the viewfinder.
Double tap to focus.
And my face is not visible in the viewfinder, but as I move my face into the viewfinder, it should announce that. Oh, actually I need a switch from the back camera. I need a switch from the back camera to the front camera first.
Using front facing camera photo and video viewer button. Viewfinder image. One face photo and video viewer button. Zero faces.
Okay, so as I leave the viewfinder, it says zero faces, and as I go back, it'll announce that one face is present.
One face, small face, face near left edge. Zero faces. One face, large face, face centered. Zero faces.
So that worked pretty well.
That's for sure. Voiceover off.
Okay, so that's a really cool feature that I like to do when I have these live demonstrations. Usually when I do these talks, I hook up my iPhone and my iPad to a projector and hook up the audio to the speakers so I really can, you know, you really can see and hear the accessibility in action. Trying to let y'all hear it in action, but you won't be able to see it because of the webinar. Okay, FaceTime is also an accessibility feature, and one that Apple has actually promoted in their television commercials. So these photos here show deaf people doing sign language through their iPhones, and I pulled these off of Apple's website, but they actually also had commercials when FaceTime first came out. They had commercials showing deaf people doing sign language, so I thought that was really interesting to see an accessibility feature being showed off, you know, in a mainstream TV commercial. Now, Apple has not advertised VoiceOver on TV yet, which would be really cool. So hopefully they'll do that one day because it's really an amazing feature that no other mobile phones come with. But FaceTime, now FaceTime won't work over AT&T unless you have an unlimited plan over cellular. If you have an unlimited plan, AT&T is still not letting FaceTime work over cellular connection. It does work over Wi-Fi. I don't have an unlimited plan anymore, so for me, FaceTime will work on Wi-Fi or LTE. Now, if you can't get FaceTime to work over cellular, you can download other apps like Skype or Frame or Tango, and Tango is recommended for accessibility. These are all video chat applications. Also, there's apps designed specifically for video relay services. The ZBRS app is one. And then I wanted to talk a little about cognitive accessibility. We all have problems remembering things, and these apps that are included by Apple are great for cognitive accessibility. You have the Reminders application, which could be useful for medication reminders. You can do location-based reminders. So say you're riding on the bus and you get a location reminder that you're approaching the bus stop exit. That could be useful. And if you have homework deadlines, I use reminders for a lot of stuff. And then you have the calendar, which is great to keep you on track for your meetings and your appointments. And also the notes. Notes is great to jot down just random ideas. And the great thing about reminders, calendars, and notes is that if you have an iPad, an iPhone, and a Mac, all of the information synchronizes via iCloud. So when I'm on my Mac, I've got access to my notes and my reminders, and then when I'm on my phone or my iPad, everything is there in one place. So that's really useful. Now, this screenshot here shows an accessibility feature for VoiceOver called the Item Chooser. This is kind of a hidden accessibility feature. There's not a lot of information about it on the internet, but what it does is when you have VoiceOver turned on, there's a specific finger tap that you have to perform for it to work. And to open the Item Chooser, you do a two-finger triple tap. So two fingers tapping on the screen three times. And that will open an Item Chooser, which shows all items on the screen, and you can navigate to them quickly. It's sorted alphabetically, and you can search for a particular item, like, let's say, a link on a web page. You want to get to that link very fast. You can search for it with the Item Chooser. And the Item Chooser will also announce the location of that item on the screen. So in this screenshot, VoiceOver cursor is around sitemap. This is a link on Apple's website. And then it says that the sitemap link is at the bottom of the screen. So that's also interesting that it gives you that visual location. And VoiceOver is kind of a screen reader that will let you locate things based on their location on the screen. So a lot of times, some person may tell you, well, you need to click on that link on the website. It's in the top right corner of the website. And if you're using JAWS or even NVDA, the Windows screen readers, you may not know how do I find the top right corner of the web page. Well, if you're on an iPhone or iPad, you can just move your fingers to the top right corner and start sliding your finger along the screen, and you may find the link that you're looking for. So that's one interesting thing to mention. This is another one of those hidden accessibility features of VoiceOver. And this is the custom labeler. What this does is allows you to give a button a certain label. When developers are creating their applications, they have to choose the labels of their buttons. And if they're using a non-standard button that's not like the default ones included by Apple, then they need to make sure they give a useful label. It's kind of like a text alternative for an image on a web page. And a lot of times they don't give you a good label or no label at all. It might just say button, but you have no idea what this button does. Maybe if you press the button a few times, you know what it does. But let's say you want to always remember exactly what that button does and give it a custom label. So in these three screenshots, I looked for an app that had a bad label, and I found the Twitter app. And in the top right corner is the Twitter compose tweet button, and it has a bad label. So I used that as an opportunity to take some screenshots of the label element feature. So the label is shown in the middle screenshot, and the label supplied by Twitter says, I see in nav bar dark compose tweet. That's the label, I see in nav bar dark compose tweet. And you can kind of figure out what that means. Obviously, it's the tweet button, but why is that label so long and confusing? And so you can, there's just a particular finger gesture you do for custom label. And what that is let's see here. To open the element labeler, you do a two-finger double tap and hold. And these custom finger gestures are hard to remember, so you just need to Google them or find it from Apple's VoiceOver manual for the iPhone. It'll tell you all the finger gestures. So once the label element pops up, you can change the label, and I change it to say compose tweet. And it remembers that setting every time I open the Twitter app. It applies that custom label to it, so it's always there. You don't have to keep doing it. And I think it also would back it up. If you back up your iPhone to iTunes, I think it saves those settings for you. Okay, some of the new accessibility features that were created in iOS 6. These are brand new. One thing that Apple doesn't tell you every single new accessibility feature they come out with. You kind of have to just figure them out. You just plan around with it and you realize, well, this is a new feature. And one of those new features is that on a web page, now you can tap a label, a text label, and if that label is explicitly connected to a form input, when you tap the text label, it'll put your focus into the input. And this is a standard behavior for desktop browsers. This is how you check if your forms are accessible. You click the label first name, and then it puts your focus into the first name text input box. And this is really useful for radio buttons and checkboxes. If you've ever tried to tap a tiny little radio button or a checkbox on the iPhone, they're really small. It's hard to hit it exactly. So what this does is give you a bigger tap target area. So now I can just hit the I agree text and it'll check the I agree checkbox for me. I don't have to hunt and peck for this tiny little checkbox. Also, some new features that I've discussed already, the highlight selection for when you do the speak selection, guided access for students with autism, home click speed made for iPhone hearing aids, custom vibration patterns for all notifications, VoiceOver and Zoom working together now, and also VoiceOver works with assistive touch. And the accessibility actions is a new feature. Let's say you're in the mail application. When you're in the mail app, you can do a swipe across an email. If you swipe to the right with one finger, it'll pull up the delete button. So it's a real fast way to delete emails. But when you're using VoiceOver, you can't really do that swipe gesture because that will take you to the next element. So what accessibility actions is the rotor. You do the two-finger rotary phone gesture, and it will pull up that same exact swipe to delete feature, but instead you don't have to actually swipe. You just activate it once you switch to it. And I have some information on how you can use your iOS device to test for accessibility. It's really cool. You can test websites for accessibility. You can test apps. One thing you can do is turn on the screen curtain. And the screen curtain basically makes your screen go black. So the device is still turned on and VoiceOver is running, but you turn the screen off. And if you're blind, you don't need the screen on unless you're trying to collaborate with a sighted person. And this can save your battery life. It can give you privacy. If you're sitting on the bus listening with VoiceOver, you don't want people peering over your shoulder watching what you're doing. But also, when you turn the screen curtain on, by triple tapping the screen with three fingers, it goes black and you can simulate what it might be like to actually interact with this device as if you were blind. And you can move your fingers around the screen, find the different user interface elements and make sure they're accessible. And you can swipe your fingers to the right or left to cycle through the user interface elements, kind of like if you're tabbing through a website. I have links to the keyboard commands. So you can hook up a USB keyboard. If you have the USB connector, you can hook up a Bluetooth keyboard. All the iOS devices have Bluetooth. I use the Apple wireless Bluetooth keyboard. And there's other Bluetooth keyboards as well. Actual physical keyboards, like for an iPhone, if you don't like a virtual on-screen keyboard, you can hook up a physical one. And you can use your arrow keys to cycle through elements in VoiceOver. You don't have to actually touch the screen at that point. So with VoiceOver, you can do everything with your fingers, with different combinations of finger gestures. And you can also use the keyboard, so you have different ways to interact with it. And you can also use Braille as well. So these are some of the gesture commands for VoiceOver. As you drag your finger over the screen, each item you touch will be spoken. Now, if you want to activate that item, that button that was spoken, you have to double tap with your fingers. And you have a two-finger tap. If you two-finger tap once, that pauses speech, stops it from speaking. If you flip right or left, you select the next or previous items. Two-finger flick up. That reads all items from the top of the screen to the bottom, and two-finger flip down will read all items from where your finger position is towards the bottom. So there's a bunch of gestures, and you'll just have to Google it or click on my links to read about them all. The good thing about the VoiceOver gestures and the keyboard commands is that they work very similarly on the Macintosh desktop as well. So if you learn the gestures for your iPhone, you can use the trackpad on your Mac desktop and you can do the same exact gestures, and you don't have to learn, you know, two different methods of interacting with VoiceOver. Okay, this slide here is on testing resources. Things that you can do for accessibility testing on your iOS device. The first one is some bookmarklets. These are called the Favelets for Checking Web Accessibility by Jim Thatcher. And these work in any browser. They're JavaScript bookmarklets, so you can, they're basically favorites. You can add them to the favorites of your phone. You can visit a web page and do the alt text bookmarklet. It'll tell you which images are missing alt text. And then I have these two before and after accessibility examples, it shows a bad web page and then the good web page. So you can use VoiceOver to see what a bad web page sounds like that's not accessible. And then you can use VoiceOver to hear what the web page that is accessible sounds like, and you can compare them. And I also have a link to a checklist that I use when I do accessibility testing to help make sure that I don't forget any of the checkpoints of the web content accessibility guidelines. So this is Mobile Safari shown here in the screenshot, and VoiceOver is turned on. And what I'm showing here is the rotor. And to get to the rotor settings, you go to Settings, Accessibility, then VoiceOver, then Rotor. And the rotor lets you choose which elements you'd like to navigate by on a web page. So when you have a desktop screen reader like JAWS, you can press the H key for headings. You can press B for buttons. And these are quick ways to get to those elements on the page. Now, with Mobile Safari, you won't normally be using a keyboard. So to get straight to the headings, you do the rotary phone sort of gesture. You put two fingers on the screen, and then you spin them. And then it'll cycle through these elements, cycle through headings, characters, words, lines, punctuation, links, form controls. And then you flick up to go through each heading. So you flick up or down if you want to go backwards or forward through the different headings. And it will also tell you how many headings are present on the page when you switch to the heading rotor setting, or how many form controls are present. So this is a good way to do accessibility testing on your iPhone. These are the different web rotor settings that you have available. And you check which items you want to be in the rotor. If you put every single item in the rotor, it'll get really noisy. And there may be only certain HTML elements that you like to navigate by. So like headings, form controls, images, buttons. You can pick just those ones. It also has things like ARIA landmarks. And there's a bunch of them. Let's see, this next slide shows some more. I think that's it. And you can also, in the VoiceOver settings, choose whether you want to navigate images or not. And you can say, I want to navigate images always, whether they have alt text or they don't have alt text. Or you can say, I only want to navigate images if they have alt text. If they don't have alt text, ignore the image completely. So if you don't put alt text on your images, some people may not actually get that information at all if they have never navigated or only navigated with descriptions. Reader is a feature built into Mobile Safari, and the screenshot on the left shows a typical news article on Yahoo. And news articles usually have advertisements on them, and they have a top navigation, a side navigation, and a bottom navigation. But this is all noise. When you just want to read the story, you don't need all this other noise. And it's noise for a screen reader, audio noise, and also visual noise. For instance, you see this home refinancing advertisement. So the reader button, which appears in your address bar, when you tap that, it throws out all the noise, and you're left with just the pure article. And this is accessible in VoiceOver, so you don't have to listen to all those other images. You can just, you know, you get the images in the article, but none of the other advertisement images. And you can increase the text size in Reader as well. The only thing I don't like about Reader is that they only give you serif fonts, like Times New Roman, with the curly ends. And I find this hard to read on a screen. I prefer sans serif font, like Arial or Helvetica. And hopefully Apple will add those features into Reader as they evolve it. Now, readability is similar to Reader and came out before Reader. Readability is a third-party web service. They have an app. And you can also do a JavaScript bookmarklet. And it's basically the same principle, except with a lot more features, a lot more customization. So this screenshot on the iPad on the left shows the New Yorker. This is an article. And then when I apply the readability bookmarklet, it again throws out all the noise on the web page, gets rid of all the ads, and all you're left with is the pure article. And this is great because readability works on desktop, it works on Windows, Mac, Linux, iPhone, Android, it works everywhere. So if you have low vision or use a screen reader, readability can help you get rid of the noise and just read the articles, which is what you came to that web page to do. And I have links to go get those bookmarklets and put them on your iOS device, or you can download their app. Languages, there's also over 30 different languages that work with VoiceOver, and you can choose which languages you'd like to appear when you activate the language router setting. For mine, I have like Australian English, British English, Irish English, and you know, one may be female voice, one is a male voice, and it's fun to switch them. But if you are reading like text that is in French or text that is in Spanish, you want to hear it spoken with the correct accent and pronunciation. So if you're on the correct language, it will sound accurate. And VoiceOver does automatically detect the languages. If you coded your web page correctly, like let's say you have a web page where you're learning French and you're learning English, you have one paragraph of French, and you need to tag it as lang equals FR, or whatever the language code is. And then for the English paragraph, you say lang equals EN-US. So VoiceOver would see that language tag and then switch automatically to French and then switch back to English. And I have a link where you can actually go see a demo of that. And I'll actually do a demonstration of it on my iPad with VoiceOver because it's really neat. Let me just get to the web page. The web page that I use to demonstrate is by Freedom Scientific, the makers of JAWS, and it's in their Surf's Up training that teaches you how to use JAWS. And that, you know, is very useful for doing accessibility demos with the iOS as well. Okay. So the link is called Languages with JAWS and Magic on the Internet. And we turn VoiceOver and it led to the different languages.
VoiceOver on Landscape. Hello, welcome to the lab. To demonstrate automatic language detection, we start in English and write. My computer speaks English. Quotation mark.
Then we write the same sentence in French, not all immature animals, right?
That's not correct. So this is buggy sometimes. It doesn't always work exactly. And I do have to make sure I'm on the default U.S. English language first, so let me switch to that.
Yes, contain link, fourth table, landmark button, images, vertical with language.
Soft represents default language. Soft represents default language.
Let me see if this will work again.
What are you, Marshall?
Not
all English are ever better in Spanish.
You got to tell an English by you.
And in Portuguese,
you comfortable from our Portuguese.
And the same in German.
Like computer slash Deutsch.
And in Russian.
You comfortable in Polish.
And in Italian.
You comfortable in Italian.
Okay, so that is not correct, didn't
I? Selected. Voice over off.
Hopefully y'all were able to hear that. But if you visit that link on your iPhone and turn on VoiceOver, you can play with it. And this would be really helpful to learn a foreign language. I know that if I would have had this when I was in high school taking foreign language class, so it would have been a lot easier for me to figure out how to correctly pronounce the words. And VoiceOver is also great for proofreading. So if you have an important email or presentation or your resume and you want to make sure there's no spelling mistakes, use VoiceOver and you'll do a much better proofreading job. So how do you make your website's accessible for VoiceOver and apps that are just websites wrapped into an app. You want to respect the router, learn about the router and how to test with it. Label your forms, use field sets and legends, make your data tables accessible using row and column headers, use the HTML5 input types, learn ARIA, do form validation, and optimize for mobile and small screens. And I have a few slides that show how to optimize for mobile, how to optimize a web page. And one thing I recommend is placing a label above the form input. In this screenshot here, this is the Gmail signup form, and when I tap the form field, it zooms into the field, but now my label, which was to the left, has been cut off from the screen, and I don't know what I'm supposed to type anymore because I can't see the label. But if you put your labels above the form field, you'll always be visible. And in this screenshot here, use CSS positioning to position the label above the form field, and then I position some supplementary information about the zip code that says 5-digit zip code. I put that below the input. And if you're a web developer, you should be using HTML5 input types. But I rarely see these used. And I have some screenshots that show them. Okay. Here are the screenshots showing the different input types. If you say this input type equals email. Your keyboard will appear with an at symbol to type the email faster. If you say input type equals tel for telephone, you'll get a keyboard that's optimized for typing in telephone numbers. If you say input type equals date, you'll get a nice date spinner. And these controls are accessible. Apple has made them accessible for you, so you don't have to do any work besides say that this input type is a date. And this is a zip code using a pattern attribute to say that this is, you know, a zip code format, and I don't want to see the normal number screen. I want to see the nice large keypad screen. And I have some other slides on HTML5 validation, how you can make your forms accessible using JavaScript, enhancing forms with ARIA. If you use an ARIA attribute, an ARIA stands for Accessible Rich Internet Applications. If you say ARIA-required equals true, VoiceOver will tell the user that this is a required field. This is the VoiceOver caption panel. This is only for the Mac, for OS X, and it actually shows what VoiceOver is speaking on the screen. So this is neat because if you're deaf, you can actually still see the VoiceOver output on the screen. You don't have to listen to it. So it's great for accessibility testing. This is ARIA Describe By, where you would say that this text input is ARIA Describe By the text below it that says use 6 to 20 characters, at least one uppercase letter, and one number. So that programmatically associates the input format instructions with the text input, so the user will know exactly what they need to type in. And this is more details on ARIA, and this is some links to Way ARIA, where you can learn more about the W3C's Accessible Rich Internet Application specification. ARIA is a great way to communicate accessibility information to screen readers. It only works for screen readers, but it doesn't change the way the web page looks at all. It just modifies it for a VoiceOver user or another screen reader user. The screenshot here shows the web rotor switch to the landmark navigation mode. And this will show ARIA landmarks and how you can navigate between them, between your navigation landmark, your main landmark, your content info, which is the footer. This screen here is showing just screenshots of jQuery Mobile. jQuery Mobile is a mobile framework that I would recommend that you use if you're doing any mobile web development. The reason I recommend it is because it has accessibility built into it already. They use semantic HTML coding. It works very well with VoiceOver, with other screen readers, and it's very simple. And they tested it on tons and tons of different devices. It's made to work on pretty much any phone, any tablet, ebook, all kinds of devices. And I have some resources to learn about jQuery Mobile. Um, There's also audio and video information here about HTML5 audio and video. This screen is talking about the YouTube app, which is new. In iOS 6, Apple got rid of the YouTube app, and instead YouTube had to create their own app. But they did add closed captioning into their YouTube app, which the old YouTube app did not have any closed captioning, so now it does. And this is the YouTube app where you can select the subtitles, the captions that you want to read. This screenshot here shows the YouTube app and the captions visible. And then I have a lot of slides on native app accessibility. How to, if you're a native iPhone programmer, you're developing for the App Store, how do you make your apps accessible? And you know, Apple has a lot of documentation on accessibility that tells you everything you need to do. It's a lot to read, so I've provided links to a lot of different documentation. We have links to videos as well. But Apple has a quote where they say, supporting accessibility does not impact your ability to innovate and create beautiful iPhone applications. So a lot of times when people think accessibility, they think a website is going to look ugly or not be really interactive. They think of accessibility as limiting, and Apple does not think of it as limiting at all. It's accessibility is not going to stop you from creating a beautiful application. All the accessibility is this invisible layer of information for VoiceOver users, and it's really easy to implement, and you have all the documentation links here. Now you can implement accessibility directly in Interface Builder, which is where you visually create an app. You drag in the buttons and the labels, and this is how you add a label to a button. And then these are the different attributes you can add. You have labels, you have traits, you have hints. A hint, like when you click a button, the hint will be spoken after a short delay. And it would, a hint was something like opens the shopping list or adds a title. It tells the user what happens if they press this button, if they activate this button. This is how you make images accessible in pure code, if you're actually typing out all the code for your application. And this is how you manually do it. There's a lot of details here, so you really have to read up on those. I don't have time to go over all the native accessibility information. But when you do create labels, your labels need to be short and concise. You don't want a label that says, add a city to the list of cities. Your label for this button should just say, add city. It's very simple. And your labels, you don't want to say, remove city button. You don't want to put the text button inside a label, because button is the trait of this user interface element. A VoiceOver user already knows it's a button, so you don't need to tell them it's a button twice. You can test for accessibility using the iOS simulator, which is like a fake iPhone that runs on your Mac, and you can inspect the accessibility attributes of your application before you actually install it on a device. But really, you want to install the app on your device and test it with VoiceOver on the device. These slides talk about some of the newer native accessibility settings. you can actually check if VoiceOver is turned on. You can check if Zoom is turned on. You can check if closed captioning is turned on. You can't really do that on web pages, but on iOS you can. There's a lot of technical programming details here that I'm not going to go over all of them. And you can manually move VoiceOver focus. So if new information appears on the screen, you can say send focus to the new information. So the screen reader hears that this new information popped up. You want to make sure that you send the focus to it. Another interesting feature is direct interaction. Like, let's say you're a VoiceOver user who's blind and you want to play the piano, a piano application like in GarageBand. Well, the normal VoiceOver behavior would be first select the button, then double tap to activate the button. But you would never play a piano like that. When you play a piano, you just put your fingers on the keys and you start playing. And direct interaction says, for this piano area, directly interact with it. And so a VoiceOver user and a sighted user would both be pressing the buttons, you know, in the exact same way. You can also make drag and drop accessible, which is very hard to make accessible on a web page. You can do that in apps on an iPhone. This is a really good slide if you want to learn native accessibility programming, and it's got videos from Apple, accessibility in iBooks, web accessibility, making great accessible apps. A lot of these are from Apple's worldwide developer conferences that they have every year. And their presentations by the accessibility engineers at Apple. So they're really good videos, and you'll learn a lot that you won't learn reading the documentation, which can be boring. The videos are a lot more interesting. Stanford actually has a class, iPhone programming class, available where you can watch all the videos. And they have one class where they teach you how to make a bowling game and make this bowling game accessible to somebody who's blind. So it's a really good class to learn how to do native app accessibility. There's an accessibility developer mailing list. And you can also email Apple at accessibility@apple.com with accessibility questions. So I'm starting to run out of time, so I'm going to go through these faster. iTunes, you know, when you put content into iTunes, you need to make sure the videos have closed captions, that your PDFs are accessible. These are the closed caption settings on the iPhone. Shows you where you can switch the subtitles to French or English or German. You can switch the audio description between like audio with descriptions or audio without descriptions. You have to create your video correctly for a user to be able to enable these features. And I have links that teach you how to create videos, accessible videos for iTunes, or how to create accessible PDFs for iTunes. Now, iBooks, you also need to make sure your iBooks are accessible. And you can create EPUBs that are accessible. And you can do this with pages. And basically, you can edit an EPUB like an HTML page and add alt text to the images. And then you export it back to an EPUB. And then you've got an accessible EPUB. And they have directions for how to do that, like using Dreamweaver. Or you can use iBooks Author, which is, I think, been out for about a year. And iBooks Author will let you add accessibility descriptions directly to your iBooks. So you have to have a Mac to do that. Also, the Apple TV is accessible. It has VoiceOver built in. So I think it's the only accessible television set-top box. So that's really cool. And this is the information about captioning your iTunes content. And that is all that I have. So if y'all have any questions, please let me know or type them in the chat, or the moderators can let me know what the questions are. I'll answer them.
Well, thank you very much. There was so much in there that to actually figure out how to work it all, I think, is going to be the challenge. And I have one question for myself, and that is, do you know how well used the accessibility features are? Is this really being adopted and used widespread at this stage, or do you know what the usage is at this stage?
Okay, that's a good question about usage of VoiceOver in the iPhone. How often is it used? It really is, to me, the only fully accessible mobile devices that Apple's created. And WebAIM has done screen reader surveys where they've asked what screen readers do you use, and they measure mobile screen reader usage, and VoiceOver usage has gone up every single year. It keeps growing, and it's only going to get bigger. The first iPhone that was accessible was the iPhone 3GS, which I think came out in maybe 2008, possibly. And so Apple's been improving it every single year. They add new features, they fix bugs or improve it, and it's really been evolving very nicely and turning out very well. It is used a lot.
Great, thanks. And for somebody who would like to make a contribution to that whole discussion about accessibility of the iPhone, is there a chat group or somewhere that somebody could join that you would recommend, so that somebody could say, this is what my experience is, I'd like to see this feature, or this is not working so well? What about interactive groups, discussions, listservs?
Okay, yeah. So if you want to be involved with iPhone accessibility, if you want to ask fellow users help for questions, is this app accessible? Before you download the app, you don't know if it's accessible until somebody else tells you it's accessible, or you spend your money and then you realize it's not. And you can go, there's a group called, I think there's a Google group called VIPhone, Visually Impaired iPhone User Group. And there's another, I think I have a link in my slides to the other group where they have reviews of apps just specifically for the accessibility. And also, if you have a problem, like there's a bug or you need some help with a particular accessibility feature, you can always email Apple. You can email accessibility@apple.com. And you'll get a response from them. I've sent bug reports to them through that email address, and I know other people have asked for help through it as well. So there is a lot of opportunity to talk about iPhone accessibility with other people and interact with Apple on it as well.
Thank you. And then I have a question also about the maps. I really enjoyed your demonstration of the VoiceOver using maps. Now, you did mention, obviously, that there was a little glitch when Apple first put their own map app out on the iPhones. Are you pretty confident now that when you do get instructions and do get directions that they actually are doing what they're supposed to be doing?
I can't really speak on the accuracy of Maps now. Most people have been saying that the data has been improving, but you know, Google and Apple, they're two different types of companies. Google is like a data company. They're really good at collecting data and search and do good with web services, whereas Apple is really good with user experience and usability and accessibility and design. So, you know, Apple, I'm much more prefer Apple's Maps for the way it's designed and the usability, but if you want the more accurate map or you want to double check to make sure your Apple Map is not wrong, then you want to use Google Maps. I don't know that you can still totally rely on perfect accuracy of Apple Maps at this point.
Great. I think that's a very good way of describing it. So with everything, it's always a case of do it one way, but always check and verify just in case you're concerned about something. But that's a nice way to approach it. Paul, at this stage, I don't see that we have any more questions than those. I have to say I really was very impressed with the accessibility features that came up that you did demonstrate, and clearly the South African English one is the one that appeals to my heart. Not always available through everything except obviously the voiceover, it does have that, so that's great. So at this stage, I would really like to thank you so much for sharing your time and your knowledge with us. We do trust that people have learned a little bit of something that they can take away from the session and use in their jobs and their personal situations. So once again, for those of you who did join us, we do appreciate your feedback and would be grateful if you could respond to the evaluation request, which we will be sending to you after the presentation. And you can feel free to let us know how that went. So Paul, if you have any last comments for us, that's great. Otherwise, once again, thank you so much for your time and your very extensive knowledge.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to share the accessibility knowledge with y'all. I did post a link to my slideshow that I have on my website. It's in the chat right now, the link, and it's pauljadam.com/IA11Live. So if you'd like to do some more research or share these slides with other people, please do so. Again, thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, everybody. And that concludes our session for today. And please keep an eye out on our next sessions that we will be having. And we will send out notifications of what those are coming up shortly. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.